Oh, I'm so glad we're under the new covenant, because I have trouble killing a bug. You know, I could never have slain a lamb or a bull. My son could have done it, but I'm so glad that Jesus did it once and for all, and it is finished. I'll grow a vegetable, but that's it. I can't do it. Speaking of the new covenant, and again, the rehearsal that Jesus had for what would come in just a matter of hours, the rehearsal, we find out, of that Last Supper wasn't just for the next day, because Jesus gives us a hint of things to come. And I intentionally omitted verse 29 of Matthew chapter 26, because Jesus says something that tells us that he has more plans in mind of even a greater event that's going to happen in heaven, greater than the Last Supper. And again, with weddings on our minds and marriage on our minds, there's going to be what Jesus calls, what the book of Revelation calls, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we're all going to be there. And in verse 29 of Matthew chapter 26, Jesus says this, after giving the cup and drinking the wine and saying, this is the blood of the new covenant, he says this, but I say to you, my disciples, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. There's going to come a day when Jesus once again will sit down, not just with his disciples, but with all those who believed on him. From the old covenant, the believers who look forward to the coming of the Messiah, to those of us who believed under the new covenant, and even those who believed during that great tribulation time, that cried out to God. There's going to be a great wedding feast. And of course, you can't have a marriage, a wedding feast, without the bride and the groom. And I'm going to read this portion from Revelation chapter 19. We're going to depart from Romans 9 for today. And we're going to be in Revelation chapter 19. Again, because the wedding, the marriage ceremony is on my mind, I want to take it one step further. We pick it up at this moment in Revelation chapter 19 when the dark, destructive days of the great tribulation are finished. They're complete. And with Revelation 19, we come to a new place. And as Vernon McGee says, we come to the thrilling events that concern us. You see, we weren't part of the great tribulation, because Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, that we are not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. And we will not be those who suffer through the great tribulation, because God judges those differently who believe on him than those who reject him. And we can see this all the way back in the book of Exodus, when God says, I will judge the Israelites and the Egyptians in a different way. Those who trust him, he welcomes into his kingdom. Those who reject him, they will suffer greatly during this time called the great tribulation. But that's not us. And so when we come to this place in Revelation 19, it's a thrilling time. It's a time of great joy. And the way we shouted for Sam and Jesse yesterday and cheered them on, we're going to be doing the same. But this time, it's going to be for Jesus Christ, our groom. Because we, the church, are the bride of Christ. And guys, get over it now. We're the bride of Christ. And we're going to be wearing white, the Bible says. But you're going to be glad you're there. You are going to be so glad you're there. So I want to pick it up now as the shouts of praise ring out. And again, we move from darkness to light, from death, the death of the great tribulation, to life eternal, from hate to love. And we pick it up from there as heaven exalts over this moment. Revelation chapter 19, verse 1 says this, after these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven. That's us, the church, past, present, and future, saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord, our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again, they said, hallelujah, praise the Lord, praise God. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sat on the throne saying, Amen, hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. A great moment. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallel. Yah. Hallelujah. And when a person comes to Christ, whom we didn't think would ever come to Jesus Christ, we say, Hallelujah. Praise God. And we forget that we were that person at one time. We were the one that some said, Never. But now here we are. We're sitting together. By the grace of God, all we did was cry out to Jesus. He did all the work on the cross, the finished work. And at the finish of any great event, any big event, we tend to say hallelujah. I went to the camp last night back there. It was about 11:10, I think. And I went back because I thought, I got to get a piece of cake. I didn't get a piece of cake. So I drive back to the lodge there. It's dark, but I'm saying it's worth the effort. My daughter made the cake. I'm going to have a piece of cake. So I go in there and look around at all the decorations. I look outside. There's the lights are still on. And I say, hallelujah. Praise God. A good thing happened here today. My daughter married a God-loving man. And man, he's going to provide for her, protect her, and promote her. He's going to promote her. And that's a good thing. And I said, hallelujah. And that's what's happening here in Revelation 19. As again, the Great Tribulation is over. And Jesus is coming at this moment. And so the hallelujah keep on pouring out. And the reason that we're shouting out at this point is because it's a homecoming. The whole team is going to gather together at this point. Again, Old Covenant, Old Testament believers who look forward to the coming of the promised Messiah, all of us under the New Covenant, and I think those, again, who died during the Great Tribulation, putting their faith in Jesus Christ. And so here we are, and they're gathered together. And I go on with verse 6. It says, I heard as it were a voice of a great multitude. That's us. And the sound of many waters, and the sound of a mighty thundering saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, the church, us, has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And then he said to me, the angel said to John, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. And John says, I fell down at his feet to worship him. But the angel said to me, See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. Verse 11, Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. Up until this moment, the eyes are on the bride. The bride is arrayed in fine linen. And that is the righteous acts of the saints. You say, Tony, you've been telling us all along that we're going to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Yes, we are. But on this day, we are clothed in our righteous acts done in the name of Jesus. We're done in those things done in his name. This is after the bema seat of Christ, after our works have been judged, and we're wearing, just like a bride wears for one day, a wedding gown. We're wearing this for one day, the righteous acts of the saints. And then, again, the righteousness of Jesus covers us. That's all we have to stand on. Sam will never wear that dress again. That is her one time wearing that wedding dress. We couldn't afford another one anyway. So anyway, but no, one dress, one day. And again, that's us standing before God. And now here comes the groom. It's kind of the opposite. Yesterday, Jesse was up there, standing up there. You know, we love him, but you know, they take a look at him. Okay, he's got a tux on. He looks great. But then you look, you're waiting for the bride. You're waiting for Samantha. She's clothed in fine linen, and she's looking great. And then all eyes, again, turn to her. But this is the opposite. We came out first, and now here comes the groom. Here it comes, verse 11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. Again, this is Jesus arrayed in military guard here. It says, his eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Say, wait, where did we hear that before? Oh, that's right. Gospel of John 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. That's Jesus Christ, the Word of God in the flesh. And there he is. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. By the way, we'll be ruling with him during this millennial kingdom time. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is Jesus, the groom. We are the bride, the church. And so the hell on earth has passed, and we're ushered into the scene of a wedding that is just starting. And this wedding makes the royal wedding in England, and again, apologies to Meghan and Harry, but that looks like a kindergarten theatrical production compared to this wedding going on in heaven. This is the real thing. And it's a match made in heaven. A match made in heaven. The church, all those who believe in the Messiah, with the Messiah himself coming together, the match is made in heaven, and we're going to be there. It's going to be glorious. And Cecilia, Tina's mom, will be there. And my dad will be there. And all those who died in faith in Christ will be there. It's going to be glorious. Now, we were sad a bit, well, a lot yesterday, because Jesse's dad had died just almost a year ago to the day. And Tina's mom would have loved to have been there. And, of course, my dad would have loved the whole thing. But we know that one day we're going to be at that marriage, that wedding feast. We're all going to be there. Nobody's going to be missing. We're not going to say, oh, I wish my mom was here. I wish my dad was here. Because we're all going to be there. It's going to be awesome. And I'm sure your mom's going to lead the dancing, Tina. I'm sure she'll do that. Yeah, it's going to be glorious. But I said it last night. I was so glad, and I am so glad that Jesus' first miracle was performed at a wedding, not a funeral. He took water and wine, and he elevated it. And he gave us just a glimpse of what was to come. The Pharisees were there. Some of them were there. And they were wishing for the good old days. But you know what? The good old days were gone. The old covenant has passed away. The new covenant in Christ Jesus' blood is what we live under now. That's so good. And so there we are. And it's just a moment that we look forward to. The coming of Jesus together. Before I introduce our team from Camp Julian Oaks, who's going to share, as we've done for the past 6 months, we have the missionaries that this church supports come and share. And we've had Kathy and Edgy from Brazil. We had John and Amy from China. But now we're going to go local. We're going to get very close now. And I think that's good to remember, that Jesus cared about the hometown. And before Jesus ascended into heaven, after the resurrection, he told all those that were gathered, he said, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outermost parts. Jesus started with the hometown, Jerusalem. And today we're going to hear about a Jerusalem type of ministry. Now, for the last few weeks, we've been talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. And one of the works of the Holy Spirit that Jesus said is that it becomes in our lives the very presence of Jesus. And in the Gospel of John chapter 14, Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. And the Holy Spirit came upon them, indwelt them. And again, by doing that, they experienced the peace of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the presence of Jesus. And Jesus promised he would not abandon them. He would not leave them alone. He would not let them just stay in their sorrow, in their weakness, confused and helpless. But he said, I'm going to come to you again. I'm going to send the Spirit. There's got to be no greater heartache than being an orphan. I've said it before. Whether your parents die suddenly or your parents abuse you and you're given over to the state to take care of you, foster homes and group homes. And I know this as an eyewitness for 23, 24 years, having heard hundreds, maybe thousands of testimonies of children and teens who've been abused and neglected and have been left alone, sad, confused, helpless, and left as modern-day orphans. But Jesus' promise to his disciples back then is true for any now who call out to him. He will not leave us as orphans, but he will send the Holy Spirit. And this is why Camp Julian Oaks gives great preeminence, the highest place of superiority to Jesus Christ. Because we know that without Jesus, those kids who've been abused and neglected will not find hope and healing. Oh, sure, they'll be given some temporary remedies. They'll be given lots of things, but they won't have the presence of God within them without Jesus. And we know that with Jesus Christ, through faith in him, they come back to life. This is why we say we love them back to life through Jesus Christ. That's all we have to give them. Jesus promised that he would restore the years the locust has eaten. Now that's from the prophet Joel, but Jesus fulfilled it. I will restore the years the locust has eaten, and my people will never be put to shame again. And the way that Jesus said it, he said, the Spirit of the sovereign Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to give recovery of sight to the blind, to set the captives free. And we know that these kids who have been abused are brokenhearted. They're blind to anything that God would have that is good for them. And certainly, many of them are in a prison from that abuse. It keeps them captive. And Jesus says, I'm going to heal your broken heart. I'm going to give you new eyes to see, and I'm going to set you free from this abuse. You don't have to let that abuse control the rest of your life. And so this is what Camp Julian Oaks is all about. If you were to go on in Isaiah 61, you would read this. I have come to comfort those who mourn, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called oaks of righteousness. Oaks of righteousness. You thought Julian Oaks was named for the oaks around here? It's not. It's named for Isaiah 61:3. Those that have been downtrodden and hurt in Christ Jesus would be called oaks of righteousness, the strongest tree around. Those kids are going to stand tall one day. So, with that, I'm going to welcome my wife, the CEO of Camp Julian Oaks. Okay. The president, I call her the president, and she's going to start the sharing, and then my kids are going to come up and share a little bit. So this is our local missionary group, Camp Julian Oaks. So I'm so glad you're here, Tina. Thanks for coming, Kevin.
Oh, man, all praise and glory to God for all things good. He leads Camp Julian Oaks, and I could get nervous about coming up and sharing in front of people, and yet when it's about Jesus, it's easy. He's a good, good, good God who loves us. And we've been doing camp since our first year of marriage. Well, we got married in 94 and started in 95, actually, working with kids who have been removed from their homes for reasons of abuse or neglect, and some just because life's gotten really hard, and they've ended up in really, really tough places. And really what Julian Oaks is family. It's all about relationships. We're a really small camp. We take about 22 kids every week. We have close to 100 kids over each summer. They come back in the wintertime for kind of a retreat weekend. We have reunion picnics. We'll have one coming up in September. We named it purposely Julian Oaks Youth Ministry, so it would not be just Camp Julian Oaks. We truly believe that if you're going to tell kids they're your family, then you keep on with them. But it's the family of God that we're offering to them. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. We could not hear these stories of abuse and neglect over this many years unless we had some really good news to share. It wouldn't be worth it. The stories are tragic. They're devastating. They break your heart. And it would be a life of great discouragement and heaviness. I'll be honest. I mean, you can hear the testimonies and 6 months later, you're thinking about a girl like Mary, who's in the mud pit. We met her for the first time this year. And you know, I often think that when we first started, we were really young, and I thought about the fact that people don't change, right? God created us since the beginning of time. Since the beginning of the world, there weren't cavemen. We were all developed, you know, mentally and everything else. And so we're all the same from generation to generation with our sins, our victories, all of those things. But truth be told, this generation has changed. It has changed dramatically. We've been doing this for nearly 30 years. It is a different world that these kids are coming from. The phones in their hands, the constant social media, the constant technology. We cannot tell you it has changed a generation of people, myself included. I hear people all the time say, I have ADHD, I can't pay attention. I'm like, truth be told, I can't pay attention. And my problem is I do not train and discipline myself anymore to sit and think and read and sit in the stillness of God. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I'm God. We're living in a generation of kids who have a really tough time doing that. It has changed, because right in the palm of your hand, you have the wickedness of the world, the perversion of every kind right there. It has changed. It has changed them dramatically. The stories that we hear are of an incredible spiritual battle of demons, of abuse that is on a level that we could not have fathomed before, because the world we're living in now has changed. What was called good is in fact evil, and what is evil by the world's standards is in fact good. Julian Oaks is a really simple camp. We share the gospel of Christ. As Nick's going to share, some of the kids who came can tell you about Hume Lake and the great things that they have there, and they're phenomenal. They're following Jesus. But we don't have those rock climbing walls. We don't have those great zip lines, but it's okay. Jesus is it. We share from the word of God, we worship. And you know, these kids are changed. That girl, Mary, came, struggled with severe anxieties. And we forged a relationship that week. I didn't realize how deep it was until the day after camp. She began to text me. And she said, my goal is to write you every day. And I thought, geez, we didn't agree to that, because I don't think I can do that. No, I didn't say that. I said, well, Mary, it's just so wonderful to hear from you. And about 3 days later, she says, can I please FaceTime you? The anxiety is overwhelming. I'm having a severe anxiety attack. I'll be honest, I don't know Mary's past. And so I said, yeah, let's FaceTime. And an encouragement to every one of us, you know, the Holy Spirit tells us what to say and do. We don't need to have the answers. All this hurting world needs is Jesus and his family to come and love, and to love well. Selflessly, sacrificially, with the wisdom that comes from the word of God and his spirit. That was all Mary needed, to walk outside with me on her phone and to remember the goodness of God. Just like another young man who came, the levels of anxiety, self-harm, suicidal tendencies skyrocket. COVID did a number. We may have lost people physically to death, but we actually have lost a generation of children. Many of these kids we got as high schoolers will not finish high school because they lost 2 years. And now we're looking at them saying, how can we help you get your GED? They're in big trouble. But they've also lost the ability to connect with people. And all those anxieties overtake them. And this one guy had just come out of a mental institution about 2 weeks prior. And honestly, sometimes you look at a child and you think, am I talking to those medications? Who am I talking to right now? But over the course of that week, he came to Christ. In the first couple days, he said, I want to believe, Tina. I want to believe that there is good like this. I want to believe I can have a family like this. I want to believe there's healing. I want to know that I'm set free. And I shared with him a prayer I pray all the time, one of my favorite in scriptures, and it is, I do believe, Lord, help me overcome my unbelief. I'm that woman. And together we prayed for him to accept Christ. Does that mean everything went perfectly well? No. Does that mean this kid doesn't have a heck of a path in front of him? No. But what it does mean is we got to share the good news with him that this thing, this mind that we have, God does not leave us incapable of controlling it. And Nick's going to talk a little bit about what our theme was this summer. But truth be told, this mind is where the spiritual battle is raging, here and here. And to be able to tell him and to tell Mary, the truth of the gospel is that God gives us the power to overcome. God gives us the power to be healed. God gives us the power to be victorious. That those things that were done to us, they refine us, but they don't define us. I am defined by Jesus Christ. And when they look at us and they say, you don't know me, I'm not like this at home, you wouldn't even recognize me. And we say to them, this is who God made you to be. This is who you really are. This is how God sees you. That's what Julian Oaks is. It's truly just as getting the gospel to the mission field that God brings to us. Ah, how awesome is that? Is it work? Yes, to get these foster kids and the foster families and all of that stuff. And that is work. And yet, the moment that bus arrives, you realize God brought us the mission field. To love and to be loved by them is one of the sweetest gifts I will ever know in my lifetime. To share the truth of the gospel, the only thing that can truly set us free, the only thing that can truly heal us, is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. That's Julian Oaks in a nutshell. We do lots of stuff with them. Our oldest alumni are now mid-30s. Tells you how old we are. And so camp isn't just camp. It's a family that keeps right on going through the years. And Nick is going to tell you a little bit about the theme. I think Denise is coming up with him to share a little story, too.
All right, well, my name's Nick, and this is Danae, and we're also directors at Camp Julian Oaks. And we're going to talk a little bit about the theme we had this year. And every summer and winter, we pick a different theme to kind of emphasize a different part of the kids' relationship with Christ. And so the theme this year was called mindset. And so we kept saying it's like, it's mindset, but it's also a mind set, like steady and concrete. So our goal was to bring these kids in and, you know, compared to the amount of influence they get from everybody else with school or social media or even in their homes, we have such a finite, it'd be depressing if we put it in a pie chart. So we make sure that every single like message that we give them is not wasted. And so the way camp works is, and I think you might share about this, we have a 2-to-1 camera counselor ratio. And really when you break it down, we have 3 teaching times. So we have a morning, we call it amphitheater time, where it's kind of a more fun, relatable skit. We have a few hours later. This year we really tried to break things up a little more because of the deficits in attention. We wanted to, instead of trying to fit them in a box, we wanted to really play to their strengths. So we made it really, made sure to break up that we do a lot of activities and then they're primed to hear some good teachings and then we do some crazy activities. And so really it spread out pretty well. So every day we were focusing on a different attribute with the goal being to adopt the mindset of Christ, right? And so the greatest example we have of the life we should live is the life that Jesus lived. And so every day we focus on one of those. So day one was unity, and then the next day was love, humility, obedience, and then discernment. And so the morning skit, we followed a maybe late junior high, early high school character named Shebe. Shebe Yu is her name, because maybe Shebe Yu. Maybe you can relate to her. And she was played masterfully by Casey Starlin. And yeah, she was wonderful. And so we, the kids call us out on it, but we did borrow a little bit from the movie Inside Out, which is a movie in which, you know, you kind of see into the mind of a girl and you see all the emotions kind of going wild through every situation that comes. But our little addition to that was this character, Shebe. She had accepted Christ and was beginning a new school year. And so not only did she have her emotions that are ever changing and fickle and, you know, just like all the junior hires are especially fickle, but we all can relate to that. But there was also the truth of God's word that she knew. And the more she was in the word and the more she was in fellowship, that truth was real strong and loud and powerful. But then also the lies that so easily ensnare us and are custom made for all our insecurities and and things we deal with every day. And so you'll see one of the pictures is this, that battle that happens. And so those were our morning ones. We were also able to look into the life of David, who lived probably the widest spectrum of a life that could be lived, from like a shepherd boy to a glorious king to a man on the run. And so again, with those days, we were able to look at the highs and lows and really give them a picture of like these, their attributes that, like, the adjectives that we're using, to us, they're really basic, like humility, obedience. To them, you know, sometimes it's like they don't know what we're talking about. And so we really made an effort to be real in your face about it, you know. And we just had an amazing summer. And we say that every time, but it really felt like these kids were really hungry for God to just work in their lives. And we're going to talk a little bit about the high school camp. We got a lot of kids from Angel Tree this year, so Lee's going to talk about that a little more. But they're a nationwide organization that services kids who one or both parents are incarcerated. And so Angel Tree connects them with churches, and also they get really cool Christmas gifts and things like that. They're just kind of that support. So we got a lot of those kids, and we didn't know quite what to expect. We got the contact because a lot of them had been kicked out from another camp. And so we said, we'll take them. And they were great. Yeah, no, that's really how we got them. And so God works in incredible ways. And the high school camp, we didn't know what to expect. They came and the Angel Tree kids were so hungry for what God was going to give them that week. And so they made it real easy for us. We kept saying, man, we wish we could keep you guys all summer, because we formed some incredible bonds. And the counselors that we had, a lot of them were new, so they'll talk about that. But with that 2-to-1 ratio, they're able to see these awesome examples of a Christ-driven adult. Someone who's, you know, they can be 60 plus or in their 20s. We had this one counselor who, he was really young. He was only 18. But he didn't tell the kids his age until the end, because he really needed him. And he was a high schooler. And man, these kids were just like crying on him and like accepting the Lord. And then at the end he said, all right, I'll tell you, I'm actually 18. And they couldn't believe it. And so they said, I never knew that someone my age can make such a difference. And it was this incredible just ministry to them. And it was just cool the way that God gives us these commonalities, even though our lives can be all sorts of different ways. And so Danny's going to talk about a girl from that camp that really, really touched us, and God touched her life too.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had a young lady named Bree who came to high school camp, and she was also a girl from Angel Tree. So that's all we knew about her. We knew that maybe one or more of her parents had been in prison or were currently in prison. And she was just that one of those kids that, I mean, you could just spot her in a crowd. She had a smile that just, she's just stunning. So gorgeous, so sweet, and just very naturally just kind and caring. But also very guarded. There was a lot of things going on in her mind that you're just, I wonder what Bree's thinking about. And she was paired with an amazing counselor named Maria, who very intellectual. And it was, God so brought that pairing together. And Bree honestly just loved part of our program is one-on-one time. And so these kids get to go with their counselor and just spend time with them and ask them questions. And Bree just ate that up. She loved it. She had a lot of questions. And so even by the end of the week, she was still asking those questions. She's still saying, I'm not quite so sure about everything. She'd been exposed to some Christianity, but wasn't so sure. And she had been going to a church, and she just did not feel welcome there and included. And so one of the things that we really want to do at camp is, like Tina mentioned, it's not just camp. It goes beyond that. And so to try to get these kids with either a mentor or another youth group or a church where they're going to grow on that day-to-day, you know, relationships. And so her counselor's son actually was going to a youth group really close to where Bree lived, Calvary Santee. They're also a church that supports Julian Oaks. And so she was telling her about that youth group. And while we were hearing about that, me and Nick were like, hey, we're taking the Hillside Youth Group to camp next week with Calvary Chapel Santee. And so we actually asked Bree, hey, do you wanna come with us? And we could introduce you to the youth pastor. And thank you guys, Hillside was said, we're going to support her to go. And so how cool that we get to spend the whole week with her at our camp, God met her in those really deep places, answering those questions, and then getting to use our church also to bring her to a place that maybe she's going to meet some more people at a youth group that she can go to. And so it was super neat because first theme was about the mind. And like I said, this girl was like, that really spoke to her because she's a thinker. And so then the next camp where we took them was Pine Valley. And that was all about surrender. And I'm like, Bree, God is, she would talk to me about an issue. And I'm not kidding. Like an hour later in our session, that was the topic of the day. And I'm like, Bree, God is chasing you. He wants you. And while we were swimming in the pool, she had told me that her dad had killed her stepmom, and so her dad was in prison for life. And so she and her dad was really awful to her mom, and Bree loves her mom, and very abusive. And so she was telling me she had a lot of unforgiveness, and she was just angry and didn't think that could ever leave her heart, and she wasn't willing to let that go. And so I'm like, well, I'm just going to be praying for you. But don't forget, you can't ignore the fact that God is chasing you. All of these questions, God is answering. And so as that week progressed, by the end of it, she ended up just sobbing. And she's really strong. She wasn't just a crier all the time. And she had told me that she had surrendered that forgiveness to God, that she had forgiven. And so has she fully surrendered her life? I don't know yet. But is God taking her through those steps? Please keep praying for her. He's meeting her in those places. He wants her. There's a lot of influences in her life, whether it's Buddhism, whether it's her boyfriend, all these things. And so think about her and pray about her. But man, we see time after time that God is chasing after these kids because he's close to the brokenhearted and these kids have such deep wounds. But he wants them and he loves them. And we just pray that their hearts would continue to be softened. So we're super thankful for all those places. We get so many kids from secular places, from social workers and all those things, but so grateful for places like Angel Tree and different organizations that churches are partnering with these kids that we get to just bring them up to our little world. And thank you to you guys for also making all of these really cool things happen. So.
Hey guys, I'm Cecilia. I'm the last one, I promise. But I'm just going to talk about some things that you guys might really be interested in because you're a big part of it, is all the new things that are happening at camp. And if you've heard Mom talk, especially all the time because she's worship leading, about camp and how we are constantly seeking more counselors and more campers to bring them the good news of Jesus. And so we're always like casting the net out, trying to get more counselors. And you guys have been praying for that. I know so many of you have been praying for camp. You text my mom and say, like, we're praying for you guys. We're praying for more people. And God just blew the doors open this year at camp. And sometimes it was before camp, but sometimes it was the day before camp. That's how it happened so many times. The counselor that Nick was talking about, that amazing counselor who was 18 years old, was Jesse's best man. And they got him like 2 days before camp. And he was just such a blessing and touched so many campers' lives just by saying yes to a week of camp and, of course, being filled with the Holy Spirit. So, yeah, the counselors were, I think, a huge deal, the newness there. We had one counselor come all the way from Scotland. A lot of you know her, Charlene. She's amazing, MVP. And she came in and was just all in. And we had a lot of new churches. Our pastor, we went to Grace City Church in San Diego, and our pastor said yes to coming. We did a cold email and said, this is who we are. And they jumped on and were like, God's like, we have a place in our church. We have a hole where we want to reach out to kids and like, especially foster youth. So they jumped on and the pastor came, and that's a really, really big deal when a pastor comes, because he then tells the church, we support this, and he said he's going to bring a bunch of people. Another church, Awaken Church in San Diego, one of their guys came to visit Hillside Church and heard about it and said, oh my goodness, I want to be part of that. And you know, he didn't actually come, but he told all of his guys, and before they even came to camp, they were recruiting all the other guys. It was amazing. So one couple from that church that came to the last camp had already sent their friends to camp in the earlier weeks. So the best way we get new people to come is by word of mouth and just people experiencing camp and then coming. So they sent some amazing counselors. I think they sent 5 in total. And that sounds, honestly, that doesn't sound very big, 5 counselors. But think of it like this. Those 5 counselors then have their 2 campers. So that's 10 kids at one time. But then if they come 2 times in the summer, which a few of them did, that's a lot more. They're doubling numbers. But we're not a numbers camp. You can see in the pictures you're seeing right there, that's the whole camp at the lake. We're not numbers based, we're like heart based. We want to have relationship with them and have them meet Jesus and have salvation and go to heaven. I think about half of those kids that those counselors had, I think all of them had kids come to Christ, and we don't count them. We should, because they get baptized and stuff. But I think every one of them had a kid, if not both of them, come to Christ and heaven rejoice, and it's amazing and just life-changing. And so those individuals changed so many lives. And that doesn't sound like a big number, but picture if it was you at camp and you didn't know Jesus and your life is changed because one godly influence is in your life and loves you and shows you what the love of Jesus truly looks like. And then 10 of you, picture 10 of your lives changed. So God is just really, really good to bring the right people and the right campers. So lots of new counselors. Even Brayden's brother came from Ohio, so we're going international with Scotland and then across the country and Ohio international, you know. but lots of churches, lots of new counselors, but God did that. He just weaves it all together perfectly because we had a lot of new campers this year. Someone was talking about Angel Tree Ministries, and that is a ministry. We got them because a couple of the campers were kicked out of another camp, but it worked out perfectly because we were like, we love those kids. Bring them in. So because of that, every single camp had at least 4 kids from this ministry, right? I said at least. In an elementary camp, like a third of the camp was all these new kids. There was so much new. Honestly, we were overwhelmed. We're like, all new counselors and campers? That is, normally the veteran people kind of take care of them and show them what to do. But these counselors stepped up their game. They were amazing. They were like thrown into the fire and they were awesome. But it was all God, totally providing so many salvations. And then not only that, but with all these new kids, I was hearing after camp, they're like, oh, these kids, Diego and Paul, I'm going to take them to a baseball game. So they're not just connecting at camp, they're now connecting them to their churches, and they're taking them to baseball games and having relationships with them. And that is all God. It was just a summer of blessing. And thank you guys. That is so much of your prayers. That is all prayers. So even if you aren't involved personally at camp, like getting in there, you're doing so much work. God is answering these prayers and changing lives because of you guys. So thank you so much. And I think, and new activities and new things, but we don't have time. Here is my dad.
Thanks, my daughter. Somebody visiting this town would think, is this Mayberry, USA? You got your wife, your kids? What is this? Yeah. Well, if you want more information about Camp Julian Oaks, you can go to julianoaks.org. Also, after church today, you can buy a ticket to the event, which is actually on October 21st, not September 21st. Does it say it's September 21st in the bulletin? Okay. Yes, it is October 21st. Yes. Lots of neat things happening. If you want to hike, come and hike for sponsorships, and it'd be a great day. Hey, last thing, as we close here. You hear about this marriage supper of the Lamb. You hear about children's hearts being mended by Jesus Christ. Maybe that's you out there. Maybe you were one of those kids, and you haven't found healing and hope in Christ yet. Well, I want to give you that opportunity today. I'd hate to have you leave with a burden that you came in with. You can lay it down at the cross. And I want to give you that opportunity. We're going to close in prayer here. And I would just simply encourage you to trust Jesus. He's trustworthy. He proved it. He died on the cross for our sins. So let's bow our heads and pray. And Lord, we do say thank you for this time you've given us, Lord, your church gathered together, God, this morning. And Lord, I do pray that if there's anybody here that has never surrendered to you, Jesus, never cried out to you, Lord, I pray that they would do that now. They would say, dear Jesus, oh, I need you, Lord. I do. I have this ache in my heart, Lord. I have sin in my life, and I need you to deal with it. And Lord, I understand that you've already done that. You did that 2,000 years ago. You took my sin to the cross with you. And Lord, I wanna cash that check now. Lord, I wanna receive that forgiveness, Jesus. And so I put my trust in you now. I don't know much about you, but I put my trust in you, Lord. I turn away from my life, Lord, that I've known up until this point, and I turn towards you. I turn towards the Son. And God, as I'm looking at you, the darkness is behind me, and I thank you for that. Jesus, would you welcome me into your kingdom? Lord, would you fill my life now with good things, Lord Jesus, the peace that passes all understanding and a love that I've never known before. So I receive it now. And would you help me to grow now, Jesus? Would you help me to grow? Just as a baby needs milk, Lord, I need your word. So God, we trust, Lord, that you've saved somebody today. And we celebrate that, Lord, that they'll be in heaven. And God, we thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you for the food that we're about to eat. God, the cake celebrating our September birthdays and anniversaries, Lord. Thank you for a church body, Lord, a neat little community. So God, would you be with us now as we go forth to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth? We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming.